Now, I've had quite a lot to say about wealth, even about money. Quite a lot to say about the dedication of wealth to spiritual ends. But there's one topic of fundamental importance about which I've not said anything at all. And that is the production of wealth, the creation of wealth. After all, it's all very well to talk about giving dana, giving wealth, giving money. But where is it going to come from? Before you can give it away, you've got to have it. And before you can have it, you've got to produce it. So how is this to be done? How is wealth to be produced? Now the second part of chapter 8, the chapter on Sri, tells us this quite clearly. It says, wealth is produced by worship. Worship of the great goddess Sri, or rather, worship of Lakshmi. But can we really accept this? At present, we need money for Sukhavati. But do we really believe that it will come if we perform the ceremonial worship of Lakshmi? Even if we perform it for 7 years? Now, I don't wish to deny the importance of the psychological factor in the creation of wealth, even the psychic factor. But I hope I won't be accused of lack of faith if I express doubt that we will get the money in this way, i.e. by worship. It might help, of course. It certainly wouldn't do any harm. But I don't think it would be the really decisive factor. Indians, of course, Hindus, of course, believe very much in worship. Not so much worship in the sense of devotion, that is to say, devotion for the sake of purely spiritual ends. They believe in what we may call magical worship. Worship for the sake of bringing about some worldly objective or other. And a great deal of popular Indian religion consists simply of such worship. If you want to pass your examinations, worship Saraswati. If you want to remove obstacles, worship Ganesh. If you want success in battle, worship Kartikeya. If you want wealth, worship Lakshmi. And we find this attitude reflected in this chapter of the sutra. But, I may say, it does not really belong to Buddhism. It does not really belong to the Dharma. It is not part of the Dharma. It belongs more to Indian culture. And we need not, therefore, consider ourselves bound by it. So, if wealth is not produced by worship, what is it produced by? Wealth is produced by work. It's produced by the application of energy, human energy, your energy and my energy. Now, there is work and work. There is work which is not in accordance with the principles of right livelihood. And there's work which is. Most people are familiar, only too familiar, with the first kind of work. Work which is not concerned with the production of the basic amenities of life. Work which is boring, repetitious, and non-creative. Work which is done under unfavourable conditions. That is to say, under conditions not favourable to personal development, and done with unfavourable people. A few people are familiar with the second kind of work. That is to say, work which is in accordance with the principles of right livelihood. And this is very different from the first kind of work. In the first place, it is work done for the sake of the Dharma, not work done for the sake of a wage, not work done for the sake of one's own creature comforts. It's work done so that the wealth produced or the wealth acquired can be given to the Dharma. And this work is ideally done with others similarly committed. That is to say, committed to the Dharma, committed to the spiritual life. If it's done in this way, if work is done in this way, then it will be a spiritual practice in itself. It'll be what the Hindus call Nishkama Karma Yoga, unselfish actions practiced as a means of self-development. Now, some friends, and when I say friends, I mean friends with a capital F, are not only familiar with this kind of work, they're actually doing it now. Not at this very moment, perhaps, though perhaps even at this very moment somebody is, but now in the sense of, well, today, this week, and they're doing it in order to raise money for Sukhavati. And they're doing it within the framework of life as members of a spiritual community. So Buddhist economics is not only an economics of giving, it's also an economics of the right acquisition of wealth, the right creation of wealth. We may say that Buddhist economics will not only help us build Sukhavati, it will help us transform the world.